ViacomCBS is throwing everything into Paramount Plus, but will it be enough to make it a must-have service for most viewers? Should you enable Netflix's new Downloads for You feature? Listen on to find out more.
And welcome to this week's edition of the Video News End Screen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon joins me from End Screen Media. Hey, Colin, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Will. Thank you. I spent some time with our friends at ViacomCBS yesterday at their big launch announcement for Paramount Plus. And that's certainly going to be one of the topics I think we chat about this week, right?
Yeah, I think that's going to be our first topic this week. And then we're also going to talk a little bit about the new Netflix download feature called Downloads for You, which you've had a little bit of experience with because you're an Android user. Me, not yet, because I'm an iOS user. But we'll hold that for now. And first, we'll get started with Paramount Plus. So let's talk a little bit. It's like a everything but the kitchen sink for content, don't you think?
That's about right. So CBS, ViacomCBS is certainly not walking away from CBS's long storied history of being a general broadcaster. It is really throwing, as you say, everything in the kitchen sink into Paramount Plus. And it really was quite an announcement, although I have to say, Will, I hope it works better. I hope Paramount Plus works better than their production for this big press event yesterday, which started 40 minutes or 30 minutes late and stopped a couple of times. It was not exactly, I would say, very smooth. But I guess I'll give you some of the top line things that they said. There was a heck of a lot in their presentation. First off, is that you should really set your clock, set your calendar. March 4th is the release date of Paramount Plus. And they did something pretty remarkable, Will. They actually lowered the price from what you would pay today for CBS All Access. So CBS All Access, I think, is $5.99 today with ads. And they've lowered that price to $4.99 for Paramount Plus. And the price for the ad-free experience, or at least ad-free in the on-demand stuff experience, has remained the same at $9.99. So that, I suppose that's the very interesting approach that they're taking, actually lowering the entry price for those who are happy to watch with ads. Although I will say they didn't say how many ads they were going to be showing. So that's definitely open. We'll know more next week when it releases, of course. But as I said, they've really thrown the kitchen sink at this thing. They're putting pretty much everything into it. I suppose the most interesting announcement, bearing in mind that HBO Now is releasing pretty much all its top movies day and date with theater releases in the US in HBO Max. Now, ViacomCBS isn't going that far, but what they are going to be doing is releasing some of their top titles within 30 to 45 days of releasing in theaters. And they say that that will include A Quiet Place 2, Paw Patrol, the movie and Mission, and Tom Cruise is back with yet another Mission Impossible, Mission Impossible 7. But they also announced, not only that will they have these first run movies, they're going to have 2,500 MGM and Paramount movies floating around in the service too. And they really are pointing a lot of their creative energies now at Paramount Plus. So they said that there will be new scripted dramas. They're resurrecting Criminal Minds. Apparently they're getting the band back together to solve a new mystery over 10 episodes. There's going to be a Flashdance show, a show based on Halo, and a raft of other stuff as well. A new Star Trek, Star Trek Strange New Worlds, focused on Captain Christopher Pike, and a show based on the movie and the book The Man Who Fell to Earth, the movie with David Bowie, of course. And that's just in the drama category. They have a bunch of, I mean, they've got a bunch of kids stuff here as well coming in. A lot of reality. They have something like 10 reality titles. They have a Frasier reboot in comedy, along with another 10 other titles coming in there too. Many of these as well will be delivering this year. And they're also going to be focusing on sport. This obviously caught my eye because CBS All Access carries UEFA Champions League and UEFA Europa League and Europa Conference League. So there's a lot of soccer there, but they're adding to it. They're going to have the National Women's Soccer League. They're going to have some CONCACAF, which has never been on TV before. They're going to have golf with the PGA Tour. So there really is a ton of content here, along with news. Of course, they've had CBSN inside of CBS All Access for quite a while now, but they're doing a special version of 60 Minutes called, unsurprisingly, 60 Minutes Plus. But they're also doing a 48 hours original, and there's going to be also a bunch of documentaries. So really, if there is a content type that you love, I think somewhere in all of that, there's going to be something for you on Paramount Plus. And just one note, they're also planning on launching in Latin America. They'll be launching in Mexico, Brazil, and Argentina. Although the pricing there will be a little bit different to the pricing here in the US. So really, everything but the kitchen sink in there, Will. Has that got you motivated to go and subscribe?
It does sound like everything but the kitchen sink. And, you know, I think they fully recognize the stakes in carving out a place for Paramount Plus and needing to really put as much great content in there as possible. And that, this was certainly the theme, by the way, of the Super Bowl ads, the promotions that they ran. I think they had at least 5 minutes of ads during the Super Bowl for Paramount Plus, and they were bringing in all the different kind of characters and celebrities from all the different programs and movies that they're going to be featuring in sports that they're going to be featuring. So that was, I thought, pretty cool to see. But noteworthy here, Colin, I think, is the pricing. So $4.99 a month. As you said, that's a dollar less per month for the ad-supported tier than what we see with Hulu. And at $9.99 per month, it's $2 less per month than what we see for Hulu ad-free. Disney Plus, of course, is only ad-free there at $6.99 a month. So they come in more expensive than that. But I think, generally speaking, pretty aggressive on the pricing. And of course, there's the promotion that's been in market that I think you took advantage of, $50, I think, for 12 months. Is that right? Is that what the discount is? It works out to $50. Yeah.
Yep.
So, so they're kind of hitting the market hard on the pricing front. And as you said, key question is what the ad load is going to look like. We saw, this must go back at least a year, maybe 2 years now, that Hulu reduced the price of their ad-supported tier because they were doing so well with the ads that they were able to reduce, and they went for more of a adoption model with ad-supported revenue. So I think that's probably going to be the play here also with Paramount Plus at $5 per month. I don't know, Peacock set the bar pretty low with 5 minutes per episode. 5 minutes per hour that they have run with since they launched. So I don't know, somewhere between 5 minutes per hour and 20, 22 minutes per hour, which is conventional on TV. Where do you think it's going to fall out?
Yeah, I think you're probably right, Will. I think it's probably going to be higher, maybe in the 10-minute range. But I've got to tell you, I was very disappointed. One of the things that Peacock did when they did their launch was they had Linda Yaccarino on talking about all of the innovation that Peacock is doing in advertising. We had none of that in this presentation, which was very disappointing. I was expecting them to come out with at least some new tech or approaches that they wanted to talk about to help keep ad prices high and keep the frequency low. They didn't do that, so that was kind of disappointing. I tell you, there were a couple of odd moments in the presentation where I think they must have said a mountain of entertainment. I mean, I think I lost count of the number of times they said that. There was also a very funny moment when I forget who was talking at the present. They were talking about 60 Minutes Plus, and they were also talking about the 1 billion streams that CBSN has now delivered. And then they said, "This is a testament to our ability to tell stories," which that coupling that with news was a little bit of an unfortunate way to phrase things.
Yeah.
Overall, I thought very impressive presentation. They also gave us in their guidance, when they actually gave the results, they gave us some guidance on how well CBS All Access and Showtime are doing, and they're doing pretty well. They're pretty much ahead of where they thought they would be. They said they have 30 million global subscribers to Showtime and CBS All Access, of which 19.2 million are in the US. They did not break out the difference between CBS All Access and Showtime. They didn't tell us how many, but I got a feeling that, you know, CBS All Access is somewhere in the 12 million range, and maybe Showtime in the 7 million or 8 million. It probably divides out like that. I think probably CBS All Access is in the lead. And so where does that place them in the US? Well, they probably have, in CBS All Access today, maybe the third or fourth, maybe the fourth or fifth most popular SVOD service in the US today. So when Paramount Plus launches in the US, it does so from a flying start. And they'll just be able to build on that. And maybe they won't need to do some of the promotional activity that we saw from Peacock and from Disney with people like Verizon, where they're basically giving away the subscription service for a certain period of time. Maybe they're already, with all of this content coming in and the promotions, maybe they won't need to do that.
Right. And I think a key part of the promotional plan is going to be Pluto. And they also released some numbers on Pluto, which were pretty impressive. 43 million global monthly active users, 30.1 million domestic users. I went back and looked at the press release, was actually 2 years ago, January 2019, when Viacom CBS acquired Pluto. And at that point, Pluto had 12 million monthly active users. There wasn't a breakout on international versus domestic. I'm assuming actually it probably was all domestic at that point, but they've gone.
It was all domestic.
All domestic, right. Yeah. So they've gone from 12 million to 43 million. So that's like a 3.5 times increase in monthly actives for Pluto. And that's pretty significant, and also I think really underscores the free ad-supported TV model that Pluto and Tubi and Xumo and others, Roku Channel, have been very much behind over these past couple of years. And, you know, again, question here about how many subscription video on-demand services, SVOD services that people are going to stack one on top of the other. I think the average is now around 4, give or take. But the fact that these ad-free streaming services are really finding their place in the market, and Pluto is right there among the top ones, and no doubt is going to become a real source of promotional heft for Paramount Plus as it launches and goes forward.
Yeah, I think that's right, Will. And so the really interesting thing is that Bob Bakish, I think, has done a really smart thing in putting Tom Ryan in charge of Viacom CBS's streaming properties. Tom was the founder of Pluto TV. And so he sort of came into Viacom CBS when they purchased Pluto TV a couple of years ago. And putting him in charge, I think, is a really smart play, because Tom really knows the advertising market, and they're really going to be working, I think, to play those two the premium SVOD type approach and the advertising approach off each other. And they have that aspect. They have the aspect of advertising in the SVOD service and in Pluto. So I think that was a really smart move of Bob Bakish putting Tom Ryan in charge of all of that. So that, I think, will give him a flying start. But I got to tell you, Will, it's going to be a fight to get CBS All Access Paramount Plus up into the echelons currently occupied by Disney, Disney Plus and Prime Video and, of course, Netflix. And we have new data on Disney Plus. There was a report on in the information that about 40% of Disney Plus's subscribers actually are in the US, which would give it about 38 million subscribers. And CBS All Access is, well, it's a way off that, right? It's probably only 10 or 12 million, something like that. So they've got a way to catch up, and it's getting increasingly difficult to earn a spot in a lot of people's streaming portfolios for those anchor tenancy spots, those spots that people just pay the monthly dividend, the monthly subscription, and keep watching. So that's the real challenge. But I tell you what, with all of this content coming into the service, they're certainly making a real good play at being one of the ones that you just have to have.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're definitely putting their best foot forward. But, you know, to your point, the juggernauts right now of Netflix and Disney Plus, maybe you want to put Amazon in there as well. Those are really, as you call it, kind of the anchor tenants. And everybody else, whether it's Paramount Plus, Discovery Plus, Peacock, et cetera, Hulu, I think are all going to be really battling it out for that sort of next tier down positioning in people's streaming portfolios.
Yeah, I think so too, Will. It's, as you say, it's a very, very competitive space now. And, you know, Netflix is still earning its place in that spot. I saw new data from Hub saying that they are recognized. They are by far and away the most recognized place for quality originals still, right, even with the entrance of people like Disney Plus and Peacock and HBO Max. They're still the top dog, and it's going to be tough taking share and taking mind share away from Netflix.
Well, they should be the top dog because they spend by far the most of any service out there, and they always have.
That's certainly true. That's
and they always have. But speaking of Netflix, we do want to spend just a few minutes talking about Netflix. They announced this Downloads for You feature earlier this week, which I think we both really like it conceptually. Just to kind of recap quickly, it builds on what Netflix announced a couple of years ago called Smart Downloads. So Smart Downloads would proactively delete an episode that you watched, that you downloaded and watched, and replace it with the next episode of that series automatically on your mobile device. Very clever, I think, approach to keeping you sort of topped up, your downloads topped up. Now, Downloads for You kind of takes it to the next level where if you've watched through what you wanted to watch, what you had proactively decided to download, Downloads for You is basically going to download programs and movies based on recommendations. So you haven't necessarily watched them, but Netflix thinks you're going to watch them or might be interested in watching them. And you as the user decide how much of your mobile devices, storage space you want to allocate. I think it was a gig, 3 gigs or 5 gigs. And so, you know, that sort of takes the downloading convenience aspect to the next level. I think conceptually we agree that it's a nice feature to have. I have not been able to use it yet because it's not available on iOS, but it is available on Android. So you did give it a spin, and tell us what you thought about it.
So I did, yeah. I turned it on, and I gave it just 1 gig because I was a bit short on memory on my mobile device. And I think actually that's going to be a factor in whether people use this or not, Will, because after I turned it on, it immediately downloaded 3 things to me. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, I don't feel like they're very personalized to me. Here's what they gave me, Will. They gave me I Care a Lot, which is a new movie from Netflix, which I'm kind of interested. I might watch that. That's a might, but I probably won't watch it on my mobile. And then they gave me Bridgerton, the first episode of Bridgerton, and the first episode of Firefly Lane. And both of those are drama rom-coms, described as drama rom-coms. And so I went back and I was trying to figure out why Netflix would recommend these to me. And I went back and I looked at my viewing over the last 3 months, which you can do through the Netflix interface. And I have watched zero drama rom-coms in that time. Now, I'm not saying I've never watched a drama rom-com. I probably have at some point. But I tell you, there's a bunch of other stuff I'm sure they could have recommended me and downloaded to me other than this. Like, for example, I think I've watched all of NCIS on Netflix, and I know that they have a couple of new seasons, so they could have downloaded the latest episode of that to me. There's one thing for sure that I would have been interested in, and I know they've gotten a couple of new sci-fi programs in as well, which they know I like because I always watch that stuff on there. So anyway, I'm kind of disappointed at the recommendations that they've sent down to me. It doesn't feel very personalized. That's for sure. And I think I'm not alone here. I was looking at some TiVo data from their latest video trends report. And that data shows that 3 in 5 people are aware their SVOD provider makes personalized recommendations. But 28% say the recommendations are always accurate. 70% say they're only sometimes accurate. And if my experience is anything to go by, then they're less accurate than they are more, as it were. However, that TiVo data was interesting, Will, because it does show why maybe Netflix has launched this feature. They say that the TiVo says SVOD customers report watching the recommended shows 42% of the time. So even though they may think they're not terribly accurate, they're accurate enough to get people to watch the shows.
Right.
Maybe that's what's going on there. But I have to tell you, I got a feeling I'll try watching, just to see what happens when I watch one of these shows, although I really have no interest in Bridgerton and Firefly Lane. I may watch one just to see what Netflix does after I've watched it. Maybe they'll give me something that's more interesting to me. And if they do, I'll tell you what, I'll drop it into the conversation next week.
That'll be great, Colin. And also, to be fair, the recommendations that they gave you in downloads for you were very similar to what you see in your Netflix app on TV as well. So it's not as if it's a flaw in downloads for you. It's more, generally speaking, a flaw in the recommendations algorithm that Netflix is using.
Yeah, as you say, and the recommendations that I see when I come into Netflix under my profile, they generally are not connected to my interests. That's my impression. They just seem to be based on the latest thing that Netflix has to offer. So I don't know, maybe I'm being unfair, but that's certainly my impression.
All right, well, we'll get back to that, Colin. You'll take another look at that as the week progresses. But I think that's all we have time for today, right?
That's it.
All right, so look forward to next week, Paramount Plus launching. And we'll give it a spin and see how it works out. And otherwise, thanks everyone for listening in on this week's edition of the Video News End Screen Media Podcast. And we'll see you all again next week.